The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Proverbs 22:3. Hi, I'm Rob West. That verse is all about how critical it is to look ahead and spot potential problems so you have more time and resources to fix them before they happen. Harlan Akala joins us today to discuss the dangers of keeping mortgage payments into our retirement years. And then it's on to your calls and questions at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our friend Harlan Akala joins us again today. Harlan is a faithful brother in Christ. He's an expert on reverse mortgages, and he's with Movement Mortgage, an underwriter of this program. By the way, Harlan will stick around today and join me in answering some of your questions. We'll be taking questions on any financial topic. However, while Harlan is here, if you have a question specifically related to mortgages, both conventional as well as reverse mortgages, given that that really is his specialty, he's literally written the book on it. We'd love to hear from you today. You can call even now. We'll begin queuing those calls. You can get right through at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000 with your financial questions today. Harlan, good morning.
Good morning. Good to hear from you, Rob.
And you as well. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Harlan, we talk a lot about the dangers of debt in general, of course, but you're seeing a problem with a very specific form of debt, and that's with seniors still making mortgage payments after 65. Help us understand what's going on here.
Yeah, Rob, it's a trend that's happened with our generation. I'm 64, almost 65, and our generation is very different than my father's generation. In the early 80s, when he retired, less than 5% of people had a mortgage payment left. Now it's pretty close to 50% of everyone that is hitting the 65 number are still making a mortgage payment. There's a website called Peak 65 that tells how many people hit 65 every day. Yesterday, it was like 15,700 people. And half of those people are still making a mortgage payment. And most everybody agrees that it's not a good idea to have to be shackled to a mortgage payment in retirement. There's just a different idea of how that should be attained and how that can be fixed, because it is a problem. The question is what is the solution?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We'll touch on a few of those today. But Harlan, with a lot of seniors facing more debt in this season of life, it really isn't limited just to mortgage payments, isn't it?
Well, it isn't. It's alarming, the number of credit card payments and other types of debt like car loans, and even a lot of student loans that are still being paid by some parents who put their kids through college that have parent loans. Credit cards are especially distressing because interest rates are between 25 and 30% in many cases. And people are often putting things on their credit card, not because they're foolish at spending, but because they've got this great big mortgage payment that goes out first. So if a water heater goes out or there's some unscheduled expense, it goes on a credit card. And while most of us pay off our credit cards every month, people that are in retirement that are making mortgage payments have less money to take care of those surprise things that go on the credit cards, and then that balance keeps going up. So it's kind of a set of dominoes that just keeps going and makes things worse and more difficult to recover from.
Yeah. I mentioned that you were an expert in reverse mortgages. I know you've written extensively on the topic. Just to help Christians understand that it's not for everyone, but it is an option in that season of life as you look at your home equity as one of your assets, and especially if you don't have enough saved. And for more and more folks, Harlan, that are entering this season of life with a mortgage, which is their largest expense, if that's putting a strain on their income, a reverse mortgage is a way to, at the very least, just eliminate that mortgage payment by replacing the existing mortgage with reverse, right?
Well, yes. I did that when I turned 62. As soon as I was able to, I can afford to make a mortgage payment, but I didn't want to because I wanted the payment to be optional. I can occasionally make payments for tax purposes or just if there's some extra money left at the end of the month. I can make a payment to keep my balance from increasing, but I want my payment to be optional, because when you go into the fourth quarter of life, it's the most uncertain time. And even though I'm still working, if something happened to me and my wife was left with that payment, it would be a problem. And so the payment is optional with a reverse mortgage, and I just refinance my traditional mortgage into a reverse mortgage, which allowed me to make the payments optional.
Yeah,
and so
really
I don't
interesting.
Have to make the payments.
We'll pick up this after the break, plus your questions. A lot more ahead with Harlan Akala. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Most people don't like confrontation. They avoid it, if possible, especially with friends and family. But is sweeping troubling things under the rug the best approach? Sometimes the hard thing is the right thing. And the Apostle Paul knew that well. He wrote a letter to the Christians living in Corinth. It was hard for them to hear, but probably even harder for him to write. He said, "I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy because your sorrow led you to repentance." You see, there may come a time when we'll have to say the hard thing. And while it's painful, you never know how the Lord may use it to lead someone to repentance and closer to himself. Try out Anchor Devotional today. Just visit getanchor.com.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like it is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Helping you manage God's money for God's glory. This is Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number 800-525-7000. With me today, riding shotgun, Mr. Harlan Akala with Movement Mortgage, an underwriter of this program. Harlan is an expert in reverse mortgages and would be delighted to take any specific questions you have on that topic while we also entertain other questions here today. I know this is often a misunderstood topic, reverse mortgages in particular. So if you're wondering whether that might be something that could work for you, either to boost income or just reduce expenses, as he shared about before the break, we'd love to hear from you. Your calls today, you can get right through at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We're going to talk more about reverse mortgages in a moment. He mentioned that as one possible solution for this growing number of seniors entering retirement with a mortgage in place, a lot more than we've seen in the past. But let's get a phone call in. Mona is waiting patiently in Kentucky. Go right ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a question
You know, I used to have a mortgage at 2.5%, and I sold that home and bought a home last year, and the rate is 6.8%. But if you come into an inheritance that is earning about the same amount in mutual funds, is it wise to just pay the mortgage off and not have that bill, and then take the monthly income and then start investing? Or do you just hang on to the inheritance and continue the mortgage as is?
Yeah, it's a great question, Mona. We'll get Harlan's take on that in a moment. Here's my thought. You know, it really is a planning decision, and it involves looking at a number of things: your overall financial picture, what other assets do you have, what other debt do you have, what income sources do you have in this season of life. I think that's clearly a factor. You also need to think about your values and convictions. You know, do you have a conviction around being debt-free and owing no one anything? And if so, I would lean into that. And so I would say typically with a high interest rate mortgage, and I would put, even though historically speaking, this is somewhat kind of average, that 6.8, it's high based on what we've become accustomed to the last couple of decades. I like the idea of you paying off the mortgage, getting that guaranteed return equal to that interest rate, because even though you certainly can do 6.8% in the market, and the market on average has done that over the long haul, if we're talking about stocks in a properly diversified portfolio, it's certainly not guaranteed. And you're guaranteed that return equal to that interest rate that you're no longer paying. So I think that's one reason why I would consider doing that. Secondly, a lot of folks just like the peace of mind that comes from being debt-free. I think thirdly, you have to factor in that if those investments from that inheritance are not in a retirement account and they're in a taxable account, you've got to get 6.8% after taxes, meaning, you know, as you have all the gains and the income, you pay taxes on the gains and the income, and then you have to have 6.8 left, which means your real return is probably something closer to 8%, which again, on a guaranteed basis, is not possible. So I think those are some of the considerations. Now, if you said, Rob, I don't have any other savings, then I would say, well, that's probably a reason to start to hang on to at least some of that money so you have some liquidity. If you struggled, you know, in terms of I don't have other assets and I don't have enough income to meet my obligations, one option would be, you know, as Harlan has talked about, as part of a planning consideration, what if you converted that existing mortgage to reverse? The payment goes away, the home continues to appreciate. Yes, that mortgage balance would climb over time, but so would the home value. And then you could turn this inheritance into an income stream that could, you know, be the difference in you being able to meet your obligations and enjoy this season of life. So give me your thoughts on that, and then we'll get Harlan to weigh in as well.
I am 53. I'm employed full-time and also have a part-time gig. Yeah. And the only debt I have is my mortgage. I bought a used car and I save up to buy used cars. I put a car payment aside, but I am one that even my father, who was not saved, had that philosophy that you're a slave to the lender. And yeah. So I have tried to live my life that way. And the only debt I have is the mortgage. So I can make the payment comfortably.
Yeah.
And I do have a retirement with my employer, and I had a retirement. I have extra money as well, some of my own investments. But I was like, you know, it would be nice to not owe, right? And then to take that mortgage payment every month and either improve the property or invest in the property. It's a small farm, so I want to add some fencing and get some animals. And but, you know, also to invest it, to turn around and invest that money towards my retirement, because I have at least another, I'll probably work the rest of my life, honestly, but at least for my side gig, I'm a licensed counselor. So I'll at least probably help people for the rest of my life, but not work for my full-time employer. So, I just, you know, I want to honor what my dad, his philosophy and thoughts were, you know, as far as the money goes, but also want to consider not just my values, but also honor God. So my intention is to tithe some of the inheritance, but also use it wisely.
Yeah. Well, that's well said, Mona, and I really like the direction you're headed here, and I appreciate you calling out that, you know, money decisions at the surface are really about the dollars and cents, but when we get below the surface, we realize there's a lot more to it. Remember, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our heart follows our money, and there are clear admonitions in Scripture around how we should think about managing God's money in light of the principles and the themes we see in Scripture. And I think in part because this is an inheritance, I love the idea of you honoring your dad's wishes there. You're 55. You've still got time on your side if you're in good health and the Lord tarries. And so the idea that you would completely be out of debt because you have the ability to do that, which further reduces your expenses, gives you more margin. You know, you're going to continue to work and use the giftings God has given you, wealth, you know, through this next season of life. I think you'll be in a really great spot and have the peace of mind that comes with following biblical wisdom. So I'm on board.
Thanks.
All right. We appreciate your call today. Harlan, you know, that's an interesting one. And I think, again, there's not a one size fits all here, which we've said many times. And, you know, she's got convictions and feels like is on the right track. But anything you would want to weigh in on that conversation?
Yeah, I faced that decision back when I was in my 40s and I was going to pay off my house. And that wouldn't have been a bad idea. And it comes down to a very personal thing. But I did not pay it off, and then I was able to get my payments to zero when I turned 62. So she's 53. In 9 years, she will get rid of that payment anyway. So it really comes down to liquidity. And while there's nothing wrong with paying it off, it may be something that once she pays it off, she has less liquidity and less assets to grow. My assets grew the most in the last 10 years that I had in investments. That isn't always the case, as you just said, with it being guaranteed. But either way, it would be a not wrong to go either way. And she always has the option to get her money back when she turns 62 and create liquidity again for the money that will be in her house.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that she brought up about her dad. And that's something that we do have to. My father was out of debt, and those are some things that just that was a different time than now, and so we don't always apply the same scenario.
Yeah, no, that's helpful. Well, we'll continue this conversation just around the corner. Deborah, Miles coming your way as well. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage, LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training or cultural transformation. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
I'm Chelsea Wildman, Associate Director of the AFA Foundation. Occasionally, there are those that have a more complicated financial situation. If that's you, we would love to set up a phone consultation with our team and Rob West, host of Faith Fi on American Family Radio. We will go over your specific situation. If you are interested, please give us a call, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345, or you can visit us at afafoundation.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We started today by talking about just this growing number of seniors that are entering retirement with mortgages. More than 50% of today's seniors are still making mortgage payments. That's the highest in history. And as we see, more and more seniors entering this time of life, 4.2 million people in the U.S. will reach age 65 in the next 3 years. This is something to think about, talk about. We're discussing options you have today for that. And with us to consider that and any of your questions today is our good friend Harlan Akala. He was with Movement Mortgage, an underwriter of this program. He's a reverse mortgage expert. We're taking your calls on any financial topic, though, today. We'd love to hear from you. I've got two open. You can call right now at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Deborah's in Tennessee. Deborah, how can we help?
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call, and I want to say that I love your program. I watch it. I listen to it every morning on my
Excellent.
Drive to work.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
But my question, Rob, is I have a house. It's a small family, first home dwelling home. And I was thinking about reverse mortgage for the purpose of I've got some credit card debt, and I'm trying my best to get rid of this credit card debt, but it's so high, the interest rates are so high, it makes it feel like I'm not paying anything on it.
Yeah.
And so thinking about using reverse mortgage. My home is paid for, but it's a small home. And can small homes qualify for the reverse mortgage process?
Yeah. Let me weigh in on the credit card side of it, and then we'll get Harlan to talk about just how reverse mortgages work in terms of the size and the equity and the age and the other requirements. You know, the only thing that would concern me, Deborah, and what I'm seeing here is I don't like the idea of you taking unsecured credit card debt and securing it to the home, which is essentially what you do when you pay off that debt. See, right now, if something happened, you were unable to pay, you need to pay. But if you were literally unable to, there's, more limited recourse options versus you putting your home in jeopardy. And often what I see is the credit card debt is a result of lifestyle spending beyond your means. And we don't solve the underlying problem that led to the debt in the first place by bringing the quick fix in through any kind of, additional loan, be it a mortgage or not. And so then I get a call 6 months or a year later back from that listener saying, guess what, Rob, not only do I now have this consolidation loan or home equity loan or whatever it is, but the credit card debt's back. And it's because we didn't right size the problem. So what I would prefer specifically with relation to the credit card debt is for you to really get on a budget, living within your means, demonstrating that you can do that and that we're not, going to go back into debt. And my preferred option for paying off that credit card debt is to leave it right where it is. Use our friends at Christian Credit Counselors to get those interest rates down. So now that same monthly payment, Deborah, much more is going to principal reduction, which is why on average those who use Christian Credit Counselors pay it off 80% faster. But you do the hard work to balance the budget and, get to a situation where once that debt is paid off, it's paid off once and for all, and we don't ever go back there. We only use credit cards for budgeted items. They get paid off in full at the end of the month. That would be my preference. Now, if at some point you decided because, you know, and you said your home's paid off now, you need some additional income, you haven't saved enough, it's limiting, you know, your options and lifestyle in that season of life, I think that's where, as a planning tool, what Harlan would say is that, you know, you could consider a reverse mortgage as a way to boost income and tap into that one, perhaps biggest asset that you have in this season of life. Harlan, speak to just the parameters around that in terms of the size of the home and any other requirements.
Yeah, the first thing is, as long as a house is worth more than $40,000, we do reverse mortgages. So the size of the home really is an issue. I don't know if there's too many homes left out there, other than maybe some mobile homes that are under 40. But so that isn't an issue on the quick answer to that question. Your words are well spoken. There's really, we've done hundreds of mortgages over the years for people that put credit card debt onto reverse mortgages. And we've also not done hundreds of mortgages for people that had credit card debt, because it is true that it's moving it from unsecured to secured debt, and you also have to be very careful about that. However, we have to look at the source of it. Some people have it because of lifestyle, and they're simply living above their means, and that is never a good idea, and we're never going to be able to get them out of the situation, because it's going to be a continual cycle, as you mentioned, that another 2 years or 3 years or whatever, the same thing happens again. However, there's a lot of people that live very carefully and live within their means and have a strict budget, but their credit cards happen because of a big surprise. A lot of medical debt will often do that, that goes onto credit cards in many cases. And if there's a reason behind why that's happening, a permanent solution is to get rid of that that blip, that big bunch. Because, for example, if you've got $20,000 at 30%, it will take you 10 years to pay it off, and you'll pay $40,000 in interest. It's astronomical on credit cards. So it may make a lot of sense. It just depends on the source of where the credit card debt come from. And we're finding more and more people in our age group in the 60s, 70s, that have credit card debt that has nothing to do with a lifestyle that is excessive. It's simply the scenarios of what happens with medical surprises, accidents, a spouse that dies, leaving some bills that has nothing to do with incorrect spending. So it's always like everything. Why did it happen, and what should be done to fix it? And certainly this could be the solution, and it might not be.
Yeah, very good. That's helpful. I appreciate that additional insight there, Harlan. Well, this is Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Riding along today with us is our good friend Harlan Akala. He's literally written the book on reverse mortgages, and that's where the majority of the questions are going today. We're going to get into some of the particulars of how reverse mortgages work. Mike wants to talk about that in Texas, Donald in Mississippi, Miles and Jeremiah coming your way as well. We'll be right back with much more.
Empty stomachs, waterborne illnesses, hopelessness. These are harsh realities for impoverished African children, but you can make a difference. Join with Cross International to share the love of Jesus with a child in critical need today. Each gift of $62 provides a child with life-saving resources. Give now at crossinternational.org/faith or 866-843-9500 and help kids go from barely surviving to thriving.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth, your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. With me today, Harlan Akala. He's from Movement Mortgage, our good friends and partners there in the mortgage space. In particular, we've been talking some about reverse mortgages today. That's Harlan's expertise. Let's head to Texas. Mike, thanks for your patience. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, I just had a quick question for Harlan. If you can explain, I think there's different kinds of mortgages, reverse mortgages. Is there like a variable rate or a home equity conversion where you can pull money out? You know, loan yourself money, things like that. Maybe we can just talk about the different kinds.
Sure, Mike. Thanks for calling today. Harlan, your thoughts?
Yes, there's three ways that you can get money out of a reverse mortgage. The first way is like a line of credit that's guaranteed that doesn't require payments that goes up every month, so you have more available. The second way is just to get a monthly check. If you want to budget and say, I just need $500 a month for the rest of my life or $1,000 a month for the next 5 years, or a lump sum, which usually pays off an existing mortgage or it's used for purchasing a home. You can either get a variable rate or a fixed rate, depending upon how it fits in with your overall planning. So any of those work. Now, be very careful because there are some loans out there that are called shared equity loans that are really not reverse mortgages, and they take ownership of part of your house, and you lose ownership of your house and control of the house. Those are very dangerous and not something that Movement Mortgage does, and I don't recommend them except in a very rare cases, usually people that have a very short-term illness and they're going to pass soon. But very rarely should those be used. But that's a very quick overview that you decide how to take the money out. If anyone tells you to take a big lump sum out so you can have a great, good, fun time, generally that's somebody that's not concerned about you and is trying to get a hold of your house. Rarely should a lump sum be taken out unless there's a specific use for it. So most of the time we do lines of credit and monthly checks.
Yeah, Mike, is that helpful?
Yeah, that's always been kind of confusing. That helps a lot.
Excellent. We appreciate your call, sir. North Carolina, Miles, how can we be of help to you today, sir?
Hey, good morning, Rob.
Good morning. How can I
help you? I'm 51 years old. Hey, good morning. I'm 51 years old. I've got 25 years left and $450K on a mortgage that's 2.25%. Just curious whether it'd be wise to pay that off before I'm 65 or let that go into retirement.
Yeah, so talk to me about, I mean, it's a great mortgage in the sense that obviously it's an incredibly low interest rate. I mean, 2.25% is phenomenal. You've got 25 years left, so that would put you, if you just made the scheduled payments, that puts you at 76 before it's paid off. Talk to me about cash flow. Are you adding anything extra to it? And what other investable assets do you have?
Well, I'm currently paying like $100 extra a month, but I have two rental properties. One's paid off. One will be paid off by the time 65. There's nothing in those that would cover the outstanding.
All right, we're losing you a little bit there, Miles. I want to hear what you're saying, but you're breaking up. Maybe just move one direction or the other. Let's see if we can get a better signal. And I heard you say that you're sending an extra $100 a month. Tell me about the rental properties.
So two rental properties. One is paid off. The other will be paid off by the time I'm 65.
Okay.
There's enough equity in those two properties that would cover the mortgage even now on the primary residence. And then in addition to that, I've got about $1 million in 401ks and IRAs and that kind of things. And then a military retirement coming in as well.
Wow. Yeah. So you're in really good shape. I mean, you're ripe for a conversation around how much is enough. I'm not saying you've overaccumulated, but just thinking about kind of the trajectory that you're on here at 51, the assets that you've already accumulated in real property and investable assets and cash, and kind of what is that ultimate finish line look like? And that would give you the opportunity even, you know, potentially to accelerate your giving. So I think talking through that with someone, but you know, I like the idea, if you value the option of being out of debt, which it sounds like you do just because that's the path you're on with these rental properties, of you putting a plan together just to say, hey, I'm going to keep going, you know, the way that I am. You know, you're sending that extra $100 a month. I mean, so let's say that's what, you know, a half a payment a year, you know, and so that's probably going to knock 3 years off that. So now we're paying that off at 73. I mean, it just seems like you have ultimate flexibility right now. You know, you're continuing to build assets. That's great. I think, you know, if anything, you'd probably want to prioritize paying off that second rental property before you would that primary residence, just given the assets that you have and how low that interest rate is. But, you know, I feel like you're in great shape here.
Okay, yeah, I consider paying that other rental off and speeding that up. So maybe that's what I'll go with. I appreciate your advice.
Absolutely, Miles. All the best to you, my friend. Thanks for being on the program today. Donald's in Mississippi. Donald, how can we help you?
Hey, how you doing this evening, this morning?
Doing great. Thanks for being on the program.
Look, I want to ask you something.
Sure.
Look, I've been hearing about the reverse mortgage, but I don't quite understand it. Could you explain that to me?
Yeah, be happy to. That's why we're here. Harlan, let's give the primer on reverse mortgages. What do we need to know?
Yes, it's really kind of simple. When you think of forward mortgages or traditional mortgages, we call them forward mortgages. It's a mortgage that requires a payment. So if you start out with a $100,000 mortgage and you make payments over the period of 15 to 30 years, pretty soon it goes down to zero. A reverse mortgage just reverses that. Instead of making payments with cash, you make payments with your equity. So usually by the time you reach 62, there's quite a bit of equity in your home. And so instead of writing a check every month, you can just say, well, just put it on my equity because I have plenty of it and I've gained a lot of equity over the years, and I'd rather use that money to live a better life, to help others, to give to Christian causes, whatever it is that you'd want to do. So you have the option of not making a payment every month. You'll get a statement that says right on the top, this is not a bill, every month. And then you make the decision, do I want to make a payment or should I just let it go until the end, which is usually when you permanently move out of the house at death. And the most important thing to know is that even if your house goes down in value in the future, these are non-recourse loans and you are guaranteed, and that's a big word, guaranteed by the federal government that you will never go upside down even if the value of the house goes down. You can never leave a debt behind for your children. You can never be required to make a payment when there is a drop in the market. So it's a very safe, in fact, it's the safest mortgage you can get because it's not a requirement to ever pay until you're 150 years old. But you're simply making payments with equity instead of cash, and your balance goes up if you don't make a payment instead of down. But the big thing to know is that you have an option, and you can make a payment if you wish. If you don't want to, you don't have to, and you can make that decision every month. Mm-hmm. I hope that helps.
Yeah, Donald, does that clear some things up for you?
Yes, sir, it did. I was the one, he made a statement that I could let the equity come out of my, the reverse mortgage come out of my equity, and or I could make the payment. That's right?
That's exactly right. You That's have correct. The option of making the payment, but you don't have to. It's never required, which is the difference with between a reverse and conventional forward mortgage, where you have that scheduled monthly payment that you're obligated to make each month at a minimum.
But I save out $40,000 on my house. Reverse mortgage really could help me, right? Because I'm 62 already.
It would essentially pay it off, and so you'd replace the forward mortgage that you have today with a reverse mortgage. The payment goes away. Now it's optional. The home continues to grow in value. The mortgage balance would as well, unless you make a payment. We've got to take a break. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
How much control, unfortunately, the executive office does have to direct a lot of these procedures in terms of amnesty, you know, what they can do, even though Congress needs to step it up. And we know constitutionally they should be making sure that the law reflects the American position. But law enforcement is the executive branch. And if you're not enforcing the law, then the law is merely just on paper.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West. With me today, Harlan Akula. He's with Movement Mortgage. He's a reverse mortgage expert. His book is called Home Equity and Reverse Mortgages, The Cinderella of the Baby Boomer Retirement. And we're talking today about how this is an asset. Clearly, your home is an asset. It's an appreciating asset over the long haul. And as we think about planning in this season of life, especially given where we started today and acknowledging that more retirees are taking mortgage payments into retirement, the highest in history, more than 50% are in that situation. The reverse mortgage is a planning tool. It's an option, not for everybody, but it is an option to eliminate that payment, which could be the game changer in that season of life, depending upon how you've planned and saved and just how you want to use and grow your assets as well. If you'd like to learn more, the team at Movement Mortgage leads with education. They'd be happy to talk you through all of these things. Just go to movement.com/faith. That's movement.com/faith. And I know they would love to chat with you. Let's head back to the phones. We're going to go to North Carolina. Jeremiah, how can we help you?
Yes. Good morning.
Hi there.
Hello. Yes, I'm a 60-year-old self-employed, a trade guy, and I'm debt-free, but I don't have any investments. So in 2022, I just had savings. I built a duplex on some property that I own and paid it off. And I didn't have enough to quite complete the job, so I had to get a mortgage anyway. I paid it off in 13 months. So I'm saving towards another one in lieu of investing in, say, stock markets, because at the age of 60, I don't know what I would realize in a return, mm-hmm. you know, at this age. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to build an additional duplex, and I wanted to save up as much as I could towards that. And I have about a third of the cost of construction saved up. So I kind of feel a sense of urgency to go ahead and build the second one and have a larger mortgage, but serve, let both incomes service that debt while I'm still able to work.
Mm-hmm.
So that in with if and when I decide not to work, that would be fine. I would have income. But if something happens in my life that I can no longer work, then I would have equity and options, you know, with real property.
Yes.
But the reverse mortgage, can you, these are, I'm a one man band. I'm a DBA mostly, but I did LLC the duplexes, or the duplex, excuse me, singular.
Yeah.
Is it possible to do a reverse mortgage on that type of property?
Yeah, Harlan.
My home is paid off too. I'm debt free. So.
Yeah, Jeremiah, you're our neighbor. Where our headquarters are in Charlotte. The big thing to the quick answer to your question is no. You cannot do a reverse mortgage on investment property. It's only for property that you live in, your primary residence. So you'd be eligible for one reverse mortgage, which would be the one on your personal property. Now, the big thing is, and I've went through this with hundreds of people that are working with investment property, it's very important that the investment property can stand on its own, whether you have debt or not. And so if you're preparing for retirement, some of your income, when you talk about real estate, it can be an asset, as Rob said, or a liability if you have to put money into it and you don't have it available. Obviously, with a rental property, someone else is paying the mortgage, someone else is paying for the upkeep and the money that you need to take care of it. So you just have to make sure that the numbers come out and that that will work. But the reverse mortgage can be something, you're only 2 years away, the reverse mortgage is something that could be used to wipe out any mortgages you had on your other property. So 100% of that income would be coming to fund your retirement because the only debt that you would have would be a zero payment on your personal house, even though it was money that was used to build your investment property. So quite frankly, a very wise way to handle retirement. A lot of our clients do that. You just have to make sure that the numbers come out, that it will be of help to you in retirement.
Does that make sense, Jeremiah?
That's great. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And I think that the property should service their own debt as long as my health holds out, you know, any unforeseen circumstances. But
yeah,
that was an awesome idea.
Excellent. Let's do this. We want to send you a copy of this book as well. It's called Home Equity and Reverse Mortgages. I think it'll be a great quick read for you. And again, if you want to connect with Harlan and ask some more questions, movement.com/faith. All the best to you, sir. You sound like a handy guy making some good decisions. We appreciate your time today. Lord bless you. Harlan, you know, we talked about some of the different aspects of a reverse mortgage, and you mentioned one of the main features, which is unlike any other debt, in that it's this idea of non-recourse, which means there's no risk of required payments over and above the value of the home. So you're protected even in the, you know, off chance of a housing crash where your estate, or if you sold the home and moved, you would never owe more than the home is worth. That's a big deal. And that's different from some of the reverse mortgages from the past. Isn't that right?
Well, it is. And quite frankly, Rob, if that rule was not in place, that law was not in place, the non-recourse law, I would not at all be involved with reverse mortgages, and I would recommend that no one would touch them, because that is where the borrower can be the servant to the lender if that worry and that obligation is not taken away. So the only obligation I have is I have to live in the house and I have to pay the taxes and insurance, which I'd have to do if I had the house paid off. So it completely alleviates me from any worry as to whether or not I'll be kicked out of the house or be required to make payments. From a Christian standpoint, we can't presume on the future. And when we're in retirement, we certainly can't. And so that's why I am so concerned that this message gets out, because there's so many people that have a recourse loan. they have no choice but to make that payment. And if they don't, they will be foreclosed on. There's going to be, I believe, millions of people that are foreclosed on in the future because they have one of these mortgages that they, a husband dies, something happens, health issues, and all of a sudden they can't make the payment. So that's why we encourage so strongly, get rid of that required payment where you're the borrower, the servant to the lender, and get into a payment that is safe, that you can make payments. And if you don't want to or can't, you don't have to because of that non-recourse feature. It's the ultimate safety.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, one question that a lot of folks have, and this is often misunderstood, is where does the appreciation, who does it belong to? Does it belong to the lender or does it belong to the homeowner?
Yeah, on those, what I mentioned earlier about those shared equity loans, that belongs to, you lose a majority of your appreciation. We don't do those loans. We don't believe in that movement, and I don't think I think they're very dangerous. They're legal, but they're dangerous. In the reverse mortgages that we do, 100% of the increase always goes to the homeowner or to their heirs. It does not ever go to the bank or to any investor or anything else. And that's important because since I've had my reverse mortgage, I have more equity than the day I got it. So if I passed away now, my kids would actually get more, not less, even though I have a reverse mortgage. So it's very important as we see that appreciation being such a big part of people's wealth, that that is not stolen by investors or banks. It's something that 100% goes to the homeowner or to their heirs as part of the inheritance that they want to pass on to their children.
Harlan, one other misconception. So it's a married couple living in the home. They have a reverse. One passes away. Let's say the husband predeceases the spouse. Any implications there with regard to her ability to continue to live in the home?
Well, it's a huge factor, and I remember very well the day after we got our reverse mortgage, my wife and I had left for a trip, and we were on the airplane and the runway taking off, and she reached over and grabbed my hand, and she said, "Now, I really never have to worry. Even if something happens to you, I will have a place to live." And we both kind of had tears in our eyes because we talked about it to everybody else, but it had never actually been a reality to us. And I said, "Yes, honey, it's finally us. And if something happens to me tomorrow and my wife lives to be 105, she can stay in the house for the rest of her life." That was not always in place, and that was something that changed with reverse mortgages about 15 years ago. And so a lot of people still think, oh, that's the scenario where the wife gets kicked out of the house. That cannot happen. The only time that you have to be aware is if you're not married and you do a reverse mortgage and then later get married, that new spouse is not protected. But if you're both married when you do the loan and when you pass away, my wife is protected for the rest of her life, no matter what, and never has to worry about making a payment. That's a great sense of a security, not only for me, not only for her, but for me. I'm just thankful that she doesn't have to worry about things if something happens to me prematurely, which it usually does. Usually the husband passes at least 4 or 5 years before the wife, even if they're the same age. That's something that's so important for people to be aware of, that your spouse is going to be okay if something happens to you and you don't have to worry about her planning on moving if you pass early.
Yeah. Well, Harlan, you're always a wealth of information, my friend. We appreciate you shedding some light on this often misunderstood aspect of financial planning. By the way, again, the book is called Home Equity and Reverse Mortgages by Harlan Akala. He's our resident expert on this topic. He's with Movement Mortgage, and we would love to have you reach out to the team and get some help in this area if you need it. Movement.com/faith. Harlan, God bless you, my friend. Thanks for your time today.
God bless you. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate all that you do.
Absolutely. Well, folks, we're so grateful for you. You know, the big idea here at Faith and Finance is that God owns it all. We're stewards, managers. If you translate the word in the New Testament, the Hebrew, household manager, we own nothing, but we have stewardship responsibilities. So we want to help you be wise and faithful as you manage God's resources, holding it loosely, giving it generously, using money as a powerful force for good, so long as it's in its proper place, and that is a tool to accomplish God's purposes. A big thanks to my team today. I'm thankful for Devin Patrick, Sandy Dickinson. Also thankful for Taylor Stanrich and everybody here at FaithFi. We'll look forward to seeing you next time, hopefully tomorrow. Till then, may God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.